Ladies and gentlemen, live from the West Coast, it's time for Ring Talk Live Worldwide, your inside look into combat sports.
Ring Talk Live Worldwide is brought to you by the World Boxing Council, the WBC.
Nunes' hands are down, and she's walking Ronda down. She tags her again.
Over and over, Amanda Nunes.
And now, the host of the longest-running fight show in radio and internet history.
If I can't teach you one way, I'll teach you another. But I'm going to get the job done.
Pedro Fernandez.
Damas y caballeros, bienvenidos, ladies and gentlemen, live, worldwide, emanating, coming at you from the multi-million dollar Sports Byline Studios in San Francisco. Check it! This is Ring Talk Live Worldwide, a.k.a. WBC TV. Good afternoon, good morning, good evening, wherever you happen to be listening to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Of course, coming to you live Saturdays and Sundays at 11 a.m. Pacific time. That's 2 p.m. Eastern time, live here on Sports Byline, iHeartRadio, Sirius XM, Satellite Radio, and of course, live on Twitch.tv, of course, the Sports Byline USA channel. My name is Pedro Fernandez. I am your modest host. I'm also a four-time Golden Glove champion. Of course, I've also won some awards for my writing, but the bottom line is, boxing fans know more than me, so if you'd like to dump something on me, or maybe you've got some criticism, or maybe a suggestion, I invite you to use the toll-free phone line. That number, 1-800-878-7529. That's 1-800-878-7529. Of course, there's also the guilt-free, no-commitment text line. You want to text us here in the studio? Get something off your chest? Again, drop a suggestion. You can. 415-275-1613. The text line, once again, 415-275-1613. Well, guess what? There's a new star in boxing as far as the world of women's professional boxing is concerned. I told you Jessica McCaskill is the real deal. We'll hear from her, of course, on today's show. The former WBC super middleweight champion, David Benavidez, will be here. Of course, he's talking about Jermell Charlo. That'll be a great fight if it happens. Looks like it may happen in May. Of course, Canelo Alvarez going to do his thing with Billy Joe Sanders, the Gypsy, that's going down around Cinco de Mayo. Lots of boxing to talk about. Archer Bedabev is on The Zone. Of course, the fight's on ESPN. Lots of boxing. Straight up, you are tuned to Ring Talk, live or wide on Sports Byline, iHeartRadio, and Sirius XM Satellite Radio, Channel 217.
Thank you, Pedro. You want to run tomorrow?
I'll be right. You going to run tomorrow morning?
5:30.
I'm leaving tomorrow at 10. I'll run with you tomorrow morning.
Okay, babe. Okay.
You're listening to Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez. Brought to you by the World Boxing Council, the WBC. Right here on Sports Byline.
First of all, I want to mention the hat that I'm wearing was sent to me from the Witness Protection Program. I kid you not. Somebody from the Witness Protection Program sent me this hat. Also, I can tell you, we're involved together with an FBI sting. I think he or she, and we'll say who it is currently probably in Florida or down south somewhere hiding out. I call he or she's voicemail, and I get a different name and a different voice and all that kind of good stuff. So it's really an undercover type of thing. It still is, but this person is in the Witness Protection Program, and I think it's sort of cool that he or she sent me this burgundy hat. Now, what I thought was real cool was last week, a star stepped up. I'm talking about Jessica McCaskill. That's right. She is the 147-pound world champion, WBC champion. She's got other titles as well. But the bottom line is she beat the girl that was the girl. In other words, you beat the man that was the man. Bottom line is she beat the girl that was the girl. I'm talking about Cecilia Brakus. The first time, it was a close fight, August 2020. Some people say, yeah, it was very close. Bottom line was, listen, Jessica won going away. I thought that one it was a 6-4 fight, meaning 6-4 in rounds, a 10-round fight. But this time, it wasn't even close. Jessica came out and she licked Cecilia Brakus like a stamp. She beat the brakes off Brakus. I kid you not. The scores were 189, 99-90, and 98-91. Now, Jessica, of course, a marketeer. I think she's in the world of tech there somewhere in Chicago. Her record is now 10-2 with 3 knockouts. And, of course, Brakus drops to 36-2. Both losses were to the aforementioned Miss Caskill. Of course, she's got 9 KOs. Bottom line is, this here from the baddest lady pound for pound in women's boxing.
Congratulations is in order.
Thank you.
You cemented yourself in your legacy in the welterweight division. Just tell us how you're feeling right now.
I'm very excited. The last fight was a lot more exciting. This really just felt like work. This is my profession. This is what I do. I'll be a lot more excited to go back home and share it with everybody in Chicago. Hopefully get a chance to get back to St. Louis and Belleville, because I have a lot of roots there, a lot of family there, and I just want to share it with everybody. This isn't just for me, this is for the community, for my fans, for people who've never seen a ring bell up close and personal, things like that. It's really big, and I have the opportunity and the platform to share it.
Talk us through the fight. So it seems like you pushed the pace, she had to keep up with your pace the whole fight. Tell us what you feel was going on.
I just wanted to back her up. I didn't want her to come forward at all and think that she had any kind of advantage. She took a lot of big shots. There were some points where I tried, you know, just to manage my spacing, and I got really boring. And so, you know, I just tried to keep going forward and look for my angles. She has like an awkward style where her hands are kind of out, so you got to figure out if you're going to go over it or under it, or, you know, a lot of holding. Like I thought, you know, it's not anything new. That's what happens on rematches when, you know, the other side just isn't up for the fight. So.
And what do you think the difference was tonight compared to the first night in Tulsa?
The difference was, I think I'm just, you know, more mentally sound, and she's just completely not. And you have to be mentally tough in this game to even succeed, to get in the ring, to make it down the ring walk, you know. And my confidence is sky high. It always has been. And we've just been training like animals, so. And this was just another night of sparring for me, really.
So you're the top of the division. You beat her in a dominating fashion. What is next for you? Where do you want to go?
There's so many options. I mean, we can go up. We can go down. Other people could come up. Other people could come down. I'm following Rick Ramos. He's my trainer, manager, best friend. And he makes the game plans, and we go through it. So we're ready for anything, and we just want to make the smart play. You know, people don't have to sign crazy contracts. They don't have to fight people they don't want to fight or that aren't going to help their career. Don't just fight somebody because they call you out. Make sure it's the path that you want to take as a professional boxer.
The champ, baby, the ladies' champ. I'm talking about give it to her, Jessica McCaskill, an underdog going into their first fight in August 2020. I think she was a 10-1 underdog. A 10-1 underdog! And she beat her the first time. We'll talk about the ladies champion. Of course, the pound for pound ladies king, all that kind of good stuff. All the accolades Cecilia Brekus got and deserved. Well, guess what? They belong now to Jessica McCaskill. Now, of course, I'm not a big Clarissa Shields fan, but Clarissa Shields was a winner a fortnight ago, a short shutout winner as well. Straight up, maybe those women can hook it up at 147 and 154 pounds, maybe come together. Or, of course, you know, Clarissa Shields talking about going into the world of mixed martial arts. I look forward to that. Now, I also look forward each week to bringing in the Bronx Bomber. I'm talking about Socrates Palmer, of course, coming to us from the Bronx. What's happening today, young man? How are you?
I'm doing good, Pedro. How's it going?
Pretty good. I'm very proud of Miss McCaskill's performance. I mean, she was, believe it or not, she was an underdog again.
Yeah, I'm not surprised. I mean, Cecilia Brekus, obviously was the more well-known of the two, former world champion now. And at one point, she was the queen pin, you know, of, and the standard of women's boxing for a couple of years, but I'm not going to say it was strictly age, but I think it definitely, you know, played a factor. And, you know, it's a new day now in women's boxing, and McCaskill proved that it was not a fluke the first time around. I thought the scores were a little more distant. You know, I thought the fight was closer. Mm-hmm. I mean, rather than what the scores show, but she clearly won in my opinion, and onward and upward. You know, I think she's a very marketable fighter. She's easy on the eyes, which helps, you know, in women's boxing, unfortunately, is a factor. And she fights in a crowd-pleasing style. And I'd look to see more from McCaskill.
Okay. Juan Estrada and Chocolito Gonzalez, people say it was a close fight. Of course, one judge had it a bit of a rout. It was a close fight. It went to a split decision. Estrada walks away. Some people think Estrada didn't win. I don't know what's going on here. I didn't score the fight. Did you?
I normally just score rounds. I thought the fight could have been a draw or Chocolatito won it 7-5. It was, mm-hmm. There was a couple of rounds that I only saw it live. I didn't go back and watch it and rewatch it. I picked Estrada, but my hat's off to Chocolatito. You know, he is definitely one of the best fighters of this era, and one of the best fighters of that weight class all time. Not of that particular weight class, but other little guys. You know, he's really a joy to watch. And he's not as great as he once was, but he's still very, very good. And I thought he pulled it out. and I said, I picked Estrada. But, you know, it wasn't a robbery. Definitely some close rounds. I would have to sit back and watch it again. There's talk that they may do it again, or
they gotta fight. They gotta fight the Thai guy. Wengo. Listen, the guy's got 19 names. Mauricio Suleiman, the president of the World Boxing Council, last week came up, I think, with a name I hadn't heard of before for this guy. But he's got like four or five names. Wengo Wengasek. That's the easiest one I can figure out as far as spelling his name or saying his name's concerned. He's supposedly in the future of Estrada now, and then maybe they'll go back and give it to Chocolito afterwards. Of course, Wengo and Chocolito don't mix too well for Chocolito, do they?
No, it's that one, you know, it's that kryptonite, you know, I mean, Soren Bisai, how I like to refer to him, you know, he, once again, another guy that's not as great as he once was. He fought last week to keep himself busy against his fellow countrymen. That's the fight to make, him and Estrada for sure. But Chocolatito, after the, you know, in the post fight, he almost spoke like a fighter that was like, okay, I didn't get the decision. I'm good with my career. I almost thought that he was giving a retirement, so to speak. I don't know if it was in the heat of the moment. I mean, he's a very cool customer, very religious guy. If you caught that, did you get that vibe almost?
Look, the vibe I got was, I think I got robbed. I mean, that was the look on his face when the scores went down. He looked very surprised. He looked astonished. Yeah. I can use all those different adjectives. Bottom line is, we got to take a station break. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide, a.k.a. WBC TV. Of course, the World Boxing Council. You can check out their website, WBCboxing.com. We hope to get our show live up. Of course, the video going on the Facebook page for the World Boxing Council as well as the WBC website. So says El Presidente Mauricio Suleiman. Notice I didn't say Jose there. I'm getting it right. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide, WBC TV on Sports Byline, iHeartRadio, and Sirius XM Satellite Radio, Channel 217.
Tune it in. All the fans around the world, we love y'all.
Welcome back to Ring Talk Live Worldwide, of course, a Sports Byline production. My name is Pedro Fernandez. We're talking boxing MMA today, only on Sports Byline.
We don't back down from nobody.
Hold on.
We can take it in the street if you want to.
25 minutes past the hour, you are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. We're going to try to get through a lot with boxing's PhD, Socrates Palmer. But first, of course, David Benavidez, a winner last week now, 24-0. The guy that had that coke problem, of course, the 24-0, the former WBC super middleweight champion. I believe he held the title twice, lost it on the scale. 24-0, 21 KOs, an 11th round TKO winner over Ronald Ellis. Ronald Ellis was game, 18-2, a couple of draws, 12 KOs. Time was 2:03, round number 11. Here we go with the former WBC champion, David Benavidez.
Joining me now is the unbeaten David Benavidez. Congratulations, 21st knockout. You're a bad man. How would you rate your performance tonight?
I mean, I rated pretty good, but I know I could have did better, man. Ronald Ellis is a tough, tough competitor, man, and I just hope the fans like what they've seen. You know, I do a lot of combinations, punches and bunches. That's what they like to see, so I hope they had a good show tonight.
Was he tougher than you thought he was going to be?
Yeah, he was definitely tougher than I thought he was going to be, but, you know, that's how it goes sometimes. Sometimes the one you think you're going to stop early, you stop until late, you know what I mean? So my hats off to Ronald Ellis. Him and his team, they're all gentlemen, so, you know, hats off to them again.
What do you think your performance tonight said to the 168-pound division?
Well, you know, I want all the big guys, you know, and I feel like, speaking for the fans, too, they would love to see me with all the big guys because, as you can see, you know, I love throwing punches. I love stopping people. So me against all the big names would be an amazing fight. You know, Charlo, Caleb, Plant, Canelo, all of them. I'm willing to fight all of them.
And you've made it no secret that you said next you would like Jermall Charlo. What would be the incentive for Jermall Charlo to come up to 168 to fight you?
Well, I mean, he was talking about me, say he can knock me out, so if it's that easy, come do it, man. You know what I mean? I feel like it makes sense for the company, for me and him. We both need that next step up, you know, to get into bigger and better things, so I feel like it makes sense on both parts.
What is next for David Benavidez? Realistically, when do you see yourself fighting again and against whom?
You know, whoever, I'm willing to fight, you know, in August or September, whoever they want me to fight against, you know, I'm willing to fight whoever. I mean, it doesn't matter. Right now, I've been professional 8 years. I want some excitement. I want the big names, whoever. Come on, come on.
You know, one guy that you guys have had, it seems like 4 years now, is Caleb Plant.
Yeah.
When do we think we'll see a David Benavidez Caleb Plant
fight? Whenever he grows some balls, I'm ready right now. But let's see if he's not, I don't think he's ready right now. So whoever he wants to fight me, I'm right here standing.
And, of course, everybody in this division wants Canelo Alvarez. You said, hey, look, I need to earn that fight. If you guys fought right now, do you think David Benavidez could take Canelo Alvarez?
I definitely feel like I'd beat Canelo Alvarez, and I feel like it would
right now.
Right now, I'd beat Canelo Alvarez, and I feel like it would be a great fight for the fans too. At the end of the day, people want to see great fights and fireworks, and that's what I give.
Yeah, and how long we see David Benavidez at 168?
I mean, I was on weight the whole week. You know, what I mean, this was the first time I've been on weight the whole week. You know, so I just relaxed. So with the diet, you know, the diet that I had, and going back to Big Bear, I could stay at 168 for 3 more years.
Yeah, do you see yourself continuing this training in Big Bear, or do you go back now with COVID winding down? Do you go back training at your home gym or what?
No, definitely. I feel like, you know, at the end of the day, you know, all my fans deserve, I deserve to give my fans 110% of myself every time I step into the training camp. And Big Bear is that sweet spot for me, so I'm going to keep going back there until my career finishes.
All right. David Benavidez, that was really impressive tonight. Congratulations on the victory.
Thank you, brother. And thank you. I want to thank all the fans for all the love and support. Thank you so much.
Big Bear, California. If you haven't been there, you got to go, no doubt about it. And especially in the wintertime, nothing but snow. Oscar De La Hoya had a training camp up there. Emmanuel Stewart had Kronk Jim West up there. We had a lot of memories up there, and I'll never forget, of course, singing My Way, drunk with Emmanuel. He and I were singing My Way at the nightclub where you're singing along with the music and that kind of good stuff. At the end of the day, I saw the tape the next day, and I broke it in half. That tape no longer exists. Sort of, I wish it did, but the bottom line is that tape no longer exists. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide, a.k.a. WBC TV. Of course, we go back to the Bronx. Socrates Palmer. Soc, before we get to tonight's fights, I want to mention the fact that Chop Chop Corley, former French fighter, I think he held the title just for a minute, at 135 pounds, 140 pounds. He got chop-chopped in one of those bare-knuckle fights at 47 years old. Does this guy smoke? I knew James Brown, the godfather of soul, he smoked PCP. Does Chop Chop Corley smoke PCP too?
Chop Chop was a good fighter. He had his moments. You know, he was a WBO champ. He gave Miguel Cotto hell.
Mm-hmm.
He rocked Floyd Mayweather. You know, he had his moments. He's kind of like, he just couldn't get over the top. He had fought Zab Judah. You look at his resume. He fought really good fighters. Zab Judah, Randall Bailey. He was in there against the best. He's a good guy too. He's got about 6 or 7 biological kids, and then he also adopted his brother's kid. You know, at 47 years of age, he looked in great shape, but there's a difference between being fit and being in condition. He fought bare knuckle for whatever reason. I'm sure it had to do with money. He actually looked well, and for some reason he quit. I actually was watching the fight. I actually enjoy bare knuckle boxing. I think they're doing a good thing over there. I do. It's not. It sounds barbaric, and definitely, you know, there's a lot of juice on the faces of these guys at the end of the night. But it's a sport, and that, you know, I respect it. You know, it takes a set of grapefruits to get in the ring. You know,
it's a little bit different, man. When somebody's hitting, no. That's barbaric. I don't think I should be able to hit anybody with wrapped hands. I just don't think so. I mean, I've seen
the knuckles are exposed. They wrap their wrists.
Yeah, still basically, man. It's
a street fight in the gym. That's what it is.
Okay, a street fight in the gym. Let's switch gears. Yeah. Of course, today, Artur Beterbiev is going to defend his title in a few minutes, I believe, on ESPN, and he's a prohibitive favorite. Is he the guy at 175? Is he the main man, number one guy at 175?
In my opinion, he is. I know that Bivol, who fights in May,
mm-hmm.
I believe, you know, can definitely, maybe beg to differ with me, but Better BF, I think, has fought the better competition, and he's just a beast, man. I mean, he's a little older. It's a shame that he kind of turned pro at a later age. So his clock is probably ticking. He's got really good coaches. He's John Scully and the rival guy, I forget his name, Abner. Mm-hmm. You know, he's very well schooled and a vicious puncher. You know, he's, to me, I think he's the monster at light heavyweight. And I hope that they unify later on this year between him and B-Ball. And I don't think Danes has anything. I think this is going to be a walkthrough for Better BF today.
It looks like
I'd be shocked if it goes like past
It's like a 10-1 fight. Some other fights on today's card, of course, Maurice Hooker and Virgil Ortiz. Hooker, once beaten junior welterweight, stepping up to 147. He went from a star at 140 and then losing that one fight to being a minus 550 underdog. Take it back. The favorite's minus 1100. He's plus 525. So the bottom line is he went from a stud to an underdog, a prohibitive underdog here. Is Virgil Ortiz really the guy he wants to come back in his first fight against?
Well, new weight class for Hooker. The last time he was in the public spotlight, he fought another trained Robert Garcia fighter, Jose Ramirez, and he was stopped in a barn burner fight.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he got caught in a bad exchange, and Ramirez was able to stop him in one of the better fights of the year. Maurice Hooker is a very good fighter. I think he's going to have the height advantage in this fight.
Always.
But he's fighting a bigger, naturally bigger guy in Virgil Ortiz. And the one thing that kind of makes me like, what's going on here? He had to strip down to make weight in the second attempt. So I don't know how long that physique can hold 147. It's actually the second time this happened to him. I believe last year he had an issue with the weight. So I believe that his best days may be at 154. I like Hooker. I think he's a good fighter, but I think Ortiz should be able to have his way probably somewhere in the middle of sixth or seventh round. I don't think Hooker's going to be able to hang in there. And another thing that's pretty intriguing, they both are in great fight camps. One trains Terrence Crawford and Jamal Herring and those guys. And Robert Garcia has a gym full of killers. So that's something also that's pretty intriguing that I'm looking forward to.
Okay. Jose Ramirez and Josh Taylor are going to do it at 140 pounds. That looks like it's going to go down May 22nd. Josh Taylor, is this a chance for him to, like, make the entire world look at him?
Hey, he surprised the heck out of me when he beat Regis Prograis and to win that World Series of Boxing tournament that they had. He's a really good fighter. Throws a lot of punches. Ramirez is a very strong fighter. It's a good stylistic fight. Should be lots of fun. Both guys are easy to hit, but I think the punching power for Ramirez may be too much for Taylor.
Okay, the postman that fails to deliver the letters, I'm talking about Danny Garcia, is now talking about fighting at 154 pounds. He was small at 147.
I think Danny is looking to just make money at this point. You know, and there's nothing wrong with it, but I think eventually it should catch up to him. I mean, 154, it's not star-studded, but you've got guys that would probably stop him if they fought. Guys like Erickson Lubin.
Yeah. What's up with Terrence Crawford? What's up with Terrence Crawford? Hey, cut you off real quick. We're like a minute and a half from a break. What's up with Terrence Crawford?
I don't know. I haven't heard much. There's been some rumblings. Virgil Ortiz, saying that he would fight Terrence Crawford next, and Oscar De La Hoya saying that he would okay it afterwards. I don't know if he's just going to play things out and he's going to be the latest fighter that leaves Top Rank and maybe eventually we get the big fight that we anticipate of him and Errol Spence. Bud's a really good fighter, you know, and we hope that we get the unification fight later on this year, but I don't think it's going to happen.
Okay, so Aram loses both Teofimo and Bud in like in the same year, real quick?
Yeah, man. Something's up, you know? I mean, is
Bob doesn't want to spend the money. Bob doesn't want to spend any money. Bob's doing the old Don King thing, because if I can't use somebody else's money, I don't want to get involved. Bottom line is, Socrates Palmer, say hello to that agent you are, and of course say hello to Sebastian for me, your daughter, your wife, the whole nine yards. Say the family. Tell them I thank you for your time.
Thank you, Pete. I will let him know Uncle Pedro sends their love.
Yeah, the great Socrates Palmer, boxing's true PhD, of course, only on Ring Talk Live Worldwide, a.k.a. WBC TV, Saturdays, 11 a.m. Pacific Time, right here on Sports Byline, iHeartRadio, and Sirius XM Satellite Radio, Channel 217.
Ring Talk Live Worldwide is brought to you by the World Boxing Council, the WBC.
The late Edward McGee on lead singer there, lead singer for the Tower of Power circa 1976. I believe you ought to be having fun. I tried to look up Edward, was going to do something on some Tower of Power lead singers, and I found that he passed away, so may he rest in peace. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide, your inside look at the world of boxing, and to an extent, MMA. Of course, the UFC is rocking and rolling, doing their thing. They've got a card tonight. We'll get to that in just a little bit. Of course, the UFC has got some issues as far as people getting on the scale. In fact, yesterday, a young lady got on the scale and she like fainted. Not once, but twice. We talk about Julia Gija. That's pretty close. Stolyarenko. That's pretty close. He stepped on the scale the first time, tried to make 135 pounds. Basically was a little bit over. She stepped on the scale again. She tried to weigh in twice. She passed out twice during the weigh-in process. Anyway, bottom line is they scrubbed her from the card, as well they should. And, you know, a lot of people are straining to make weight. But if you're that point, to the point where you're that dizzy, I've never been that dizzy. I mean, I went without eating for 36 hours and cut down on no water. I think it's just ice cubes and things like that for the last 12 hours, things like that. But never, ever I come close to fainting. Fainting's probably not in the fainting's not good. Anyway, tonight, the UFC rock and roll, and of course, ESPN coming to you from the Apex Center in Las Vegas, Nevada. On top, of course, Derek Brunson, the main event. He's a middleweight wing, 185 pounds, taking on Kevin Holland. The co-feature, Song Kanan, taking on Max Griffin. Outside of that, there's no really names anymore. Tai Tuivasa, he's in a heavyweight matchup against Harry Hunsicker. Pretty good name for a heavyweight, Harry Hunsicker, the heavyweight. Anyway, bottom line is, I'm looking at the rest of the card. Not too many names. There are a lot of people that you never heard of. Of course, UFC looking to rebuild itself. Whether people want to admit it or not, they're in the rebuilding process. Why? Talent is just, I mean, you've only got one Amanda Nunes. You've only got one Francis Ngannou. You've only got one Stipe Miocic. I mean, you've only got one John Jones. John Jones, by the way, is weighing somewhere around 250 pounds. Of course, the former UFC 205 pound light heavyweight champion never lost a fight at light heavyweight, although he had a couple shaky decisions there. And of course, the cocaine, a lot of cocaine, steroids, that kind of good stuff, Flintstone vitamins. In other words, John Jones, of course, we exposed him after that hit and run accident he came in, he got involved with a couple years ago. He's a piece of work. And piece of work, you can spell work other than W-O-R-K, if you know what I'm talking about. In fact, you can spell it, and it has an H in it. Anyway, bottom line is, John Jones, will get to him and him. But Francis Ngannou is a guy I think that is really the future of the UFC. In other words, if the UFC can build a legacy, build something around the challenger for the World Heavyweight Championship, of course, the champion being Stipe Miocic, the boxer, the former Golden Glove champion, come to us from Cleveland, Ohio. Good fighter, no doubt about that. But March 27, they're going to hook this up at the UFC Apex Center, of course, Enterprise, Nevada, Las Vegas, Nevada, call it what you want. But the bottom line is, this is UFC 260. They've been around a while. Of course, UFC 35 or UFC 33, I think, is when I first did an event with them in Las Vegas. God knows that was a long time ago, like almost 2004, somewhere around there. Anyway, bottom line is, they are struggling. Whether they want to admit it or not, they are struggling. Of course, Stipe Miocic, the twice-beaten heavyweight champion, lost to Daniel Cormier. Of course, he rebounded and beat Cormier. Almost lost to Francis Ngannou. Of course, in the first round, he was on the verge of getting knocked out, but he came back real quick and schooled Ngannou down the stretch. Ngannou has much improved since then, and he's a complete fighter, I think. And I think if I was Stipe Miocic, I'd be looking not to get hurt in this one. Anyway, the co-feature, Alexander Volkanovski, the world featherweight champion, 145 pounds, takes on Brian Ortega. Brian Ortega, a guy that I think has been ruined by the UFC. In other words, death match after death match, and the fact that they won't stop a fight when a guy's been beat. Ortega was getting beat up by Max Holloway. He was getting beat up so bad that I turned my face away from the TV. That's how bad he was getting beat up. Turn my face away. I don't want to see this no more, okay? And they let it go, and they let it go, and they let it go, and his corner didn't stop it. The doctor didn't stop it. The referee didn't stop it. Three different individuals are, you know, to call the corner an individual, but three different entities failed him, Brian Ortega, in that fight. And I don't think he'll ever be the same. The beating he took was like, I mean, with 4-ounce gloves, meaning there's no pad in the gloves, you're basically getting hit knuckle to knuckle. It's almost bare-knuckle boxing. Getting hit in these MMA gloves. Anyway, the beating of Brian Ortega took, I don't think he'll ever rebound from it. I wish him the very best of luck. But Volkanovski, of course, a fortunate winner the last time out. in that rematch with Max Holloway. People thought Holloway won that fight. In fact, the general consensus was he got stiffed or robbed or whatever you want to talk about. But the bottom line is in a 5-round fight, when you go 3-2, 3-2, 3-2, it's a close fight no matter what. Anyway, Tyron Woodley, the former welterweight champion, is in action. He's taking on Vicente Lege. Lege can fight, I've been told. And of course, Sean O'Malley, Thomas Almeida. And outside of that, I'm not looking at any other big names on the card either. So, you know, the UFC is going to go with this big card, no doubt about it, the card of the year as far as this year is concerned thus far. Stipe Miocic, Francis Ngannou. What's going to happen? Ngannou's going to spank him. I feel sorry for Stipe Miocic. I wouldn't want to be in that fight if I was Stippy. I mean, all the money in the world is not going to help me from the ass kicking I'm going to take from this man. I mean, there's no way, no how. March 27th, 1 week from today, UFC coming to you from Las Vegas. Now, the UFC switches, and they go to ABC. That's going to go April the 10th. They're going to be on ABC television. Back to ESPN. That's going to go with Kelvin Gastelum. He'll be in the main event. UFC on ESPN is April 17th. April 24th, Kamaru Usman, Jorge Masvidal, the rematch. Second fight, April 24th, 2021. That's going to come to us from Jacksonville, Florida. Evidently, that's going to have an entire full crowd. So good luck with that in the world of COVID. But that governor down there, DeSantis, he does his own thing. Whether I agree with him or not, he does his own thing. Anyway, bottom line is they're going to have a live crowd there August 24th in Jacksonville, Florida. May 1st, UFC is going to go with a site unknown, UFC Fight Night. Looks like the next big event is going to be TJ Dillashaw going to UFC Fight Night May the 8th. Of course, the former world bantamweight champion. Man, he looked like he really looked like he was a guy coming to us out of Sacramento. Of course, he was part of a stable up there. They were all together. I mean, him and Uriah Faber, they were like partners, man. They were partners. Uriah said that he let TJ Dillashaw sleep on his couch, all that kind of good stuff. And then when TJ got the title, TJ sort of walked away. And when TJ walked away, that was sort of like the kiss of death for TJ because he lost in his next fight and he's got drubbed in the fight after that. But the guy he's fighting is like a monster. I was trying to think of the right adjective here, but I can't really come up with it. Corey Sandhagen. The guy is absolutely scary. He's tall. He's lanky. He can knock people out. He can choke people. He does all that MMA stuff very well. What I'm trying to tell you at the end of the day, Corey's going to light TJ up like the White House Christmas tree. Sorry, TJ, man, but the kid originally from Sacramento, California, that went to Colorado, that sold his boys out in Sacramento and went to Colorado. Well, I think he's going to get lit up like the White House Christmas tree. Now, of course, tonight, boxing on DAZN. Maurice Hooker, underdog. Of course, former junior welterweight champion, stepping up to 147. Of course, as the boxing PhD said, he's taking on Virgil Ortiz. Virgil Ortiz probably, he might be the best of these welterweights. When I say the best, of course, there's Bud Crawford, the aforementioned WBO title holder. Then you've got the guy that's holding a couple other belts, Earl Spence. Of course, he's the gimp that got in that car accident. Guy always looks like, he always looks like he's stoned. I mean, I know they call Bud Crawford, I don't think they call him Bud because he's a buddy. I think they call him Bud because of Herb. And that's just my personal opinion. And Earl Spence always looks like he's high. From a guy that smokes weed, take my word for it. I think Earl Spence smokes a lot of weed. Anyway, Earl Spence and Bud Crawford are supposed to hook it up at 147 to unify things. But they're fighting over the money. One person wants 70%. The other person wants 60%. I mean, they're not getting close. So why don't they just do a 50-50 type of thing? And then whoever wins gets 60-40 or 65-35 the next time around. That's the way you do it. That's the way you get it done. Of course, the big money fights, they're slipping away from these guys. Why are they slipping away? COVID, the fact that, you know, there aren't big arenas available, there's no big crowd, so when you can get the money, get the money. Tonight, Virgil Ortiz is probably going to light up Maurice Hooker. Best of luck to Hooker. He's got lots of attributes. He's tall. He boxes well, but Virgil Ortiz, he really looks like he is the real deal. I mean, he really looks like he's the real deal. I mean, I've watched him on film. I watched him in fights. I think he might be the superstar that everybody's talking about that they don't really know yet. He might be the guy. Watch tonight. Of course, that's going to go to you on DAZN. In fact, today's boxing schedule, let me go over that real quick. Of course, Artur Beterbiev, I believe, is on ESPN. He is the recognized light heavyweight champion of the world. Of course, he's going to go on ESPN in just a few minutes, I believe. And, of course, that's going to be on ESPN. And you've got DAZN going today. Let me run today's schedule down to you. March the 20th, ESPN, Artur Beterbiev, of course, and Atom Dienis. Of course, Dienis, like a 12-1 underdog. He's going to get scorched He's not going to make it to the 12th round. I just don't see it that way. March 20th, of course, that's today. If you come to us live, you listen to the podcast. Hey, this is a live show. No, we come to you live every Saturday and Sunday, 11 a.m. Pacific time, 2 p.m. Eastern time, live on Sports Byline, iHeartRadio, Sirius XM, Satellite Radio, of course, the American Forces Network. Of course, March 20th, as I said, Virgil Ortiz Jr., undefeated, kid out of Texas, taking on Maurice Hooker. That's on DAZN. DAZN's also got Lawrence Okolie taking on Christy Glowacki. Glowacki is a WBO, or I think he is a WBO cruiserweight title holder. Anyway, bottom line is they will battle for the WBO 200-pound title. March 25th, guess who's coming back? Amanda Serrano, of course, hot-looking girl. Talk about easy to look at. Of course, she's got titles in all kinds of different weight classes. That's been criticized by some and applauded by others. Bottom line is she's in the main event next week. NBC Sports Network, March 25th, Amanda Serrano taking on Daniela Bermudez for the WBC and WBO featherweight 126-pound title. Wish her all the best. Now, the fight that I'm looking forward to, and believe it or not, the guy that won via knockout the last time is a underdog this time. Dillian White's a favorite. Dillian White got knocked out. Dillian White got starched. Dillian White got knocked out to the point where he was snoring. I mean, you could hear him through your television. I'm serious. You didn't have to put a microphone up to his nose. You could just... You just see him snoring, because he got knocked out with that one punch when Povetkin snuck that uppercut in there. I don't think it was a fluke. Uppercuts are not, I mean, how do I put this? When you're fighting a guy and you're throwing straight at him, this and that, he's not expecting straight shots. Think of Michael Moore and George Foreman. George Foreman kept throwing straight shots all night, and he was waiting for Michael Moore to step in so he could pop him with that right uppercut. He waited, he did it, and he recaptured the World Heavyweight Championship. Of course, that was like 20 years after winning it the first time. Bottom line is, you can plan a guy out, you can use your strategy, and you can make things work, but you've got to plan things. That's why it's always so good to have a good corner. And, you know, I was lucky I had a good corner. Of course, I only had 3-round fights. Wasn't too tough when you had to strategize a 3-round fight. In other words, you go out there and impose your will. That's what you got to do. Of course, boxing is all about imposing your will. MMA, the same thing. Imposing your will. Bottom line is, you are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. You're inside looking to the world of boxing, MMA. Of course, we'll wrap things up with some predictions. Of course, the Sunday show, 11 a.m. Pacific time, right here on Sports Byline. In other words, right here on the same stations you're listening to Ring Talk Live Worldwide, a.k.a. WBC TV on right now. Tomorrow, the Sunday edition, we will bring you Larry Merchant. That's March 21st, 2021. Larry Merchant, the retired HBO godfather, will be here. Of course, we'll hear from some of the winners tonight. But the bottom line is, you'll spend some time with the boxing legend, Larry Merchant, tomorrow on Ring Talk Live Worldwide, a.k.a. WBC TV, live on Sports Byline. Welcome back to Ring Talk Live Worldwide, of course, a Sports Byline production. My name is Pedro Fernandez. We're talking boxing MMA today only on Sports Byline.
Hello, California!
Look at East Bay Soul there. If you like the East Bay Soul sound, they do free concerts, I think, every Friday night, something like that, like live from Greg Adams' living room, something like that. Check them out, Facebook, eastbaysoul.com. This week in boxing history, March 22nd, 1967, Muhammad Ali had his last fight before that 3.5-year draft exile. Of course, when he said he wouldn't step forward, they said, guess what, we're not going to be able to let you fight anymore. Anyway, he knocked out Zora Foley on March 22nd, 1967, in the seventh round. Of course, that was his last fight for 3.5 years. On this day, and I take it back, March 25th, 1958, two guys that I both knew, I kid you not, Sugar Ray Robinson beat Carmen Basile in a rematch. Of course, the first time they fought was in 1957, the fight of the year. No doubt about that. Of course, Ring Magazine was concerned, and Basile won that fight. And then, of course, the second fight, it was a split decision win for Sugar Ray Robinson. Of course, Carmen Basile, I said, is Ray Robinson the greatest fighter of all time? He goes, hell no. If an onion farmer can beat him, anybody can beat him. So, okay, Carmen, bottom line is March 25th, 1989. Wow, I remember this day real, real clearly. Get this. Michael Nunn knocks out Sambu Kalembe in Las Vegas. Of course, I think that was the Thomas and Mack Center, something like that. Anyway, so we go to Botany's Disco afterwards, and I'm telling Sugar Ray Leonard that, you know, Michael Nunn, you know, knocked out Colin Bay tonight, and people in the boxing world are thinking you're scared of Nunn, that you're, you know, you're a sissy, that you ain't saying nothing, you're a, you know, blah, blah, blah. Anyway, I'm firing Ray up because I knew I was going to incite Ray enough to where he's going to go over there and, like, you know, say something to Nunn, right? So he goes over and he gets to Michael Nunn's face. They had this big, big, long, drawn out battle. It's like 45 seconds, but you think it's, they're going to go toe to toe. It don't happen. They walk away. They would never fight. But he knocked out Colin Bay on this day, of course, knocked him out brutally with one punch. It was like the knockout of the year. For 1989, no doubt about that. Michael Nunn. Of course, Michael Nunn, now 55, 56 years old, somewhere around there. He had a comeback fight as far as a mixed martial arts, like versus boxer type of fight, some weird type of fight a couple of months ago. He says he wants to come back at 156 pounds. Best of luck with that one. The bottom line is Michael second Nunn at one point in time. Wow, he had all the tools, but like Bob Sirkine told me, and Bob Sirkine was his amateur advisor, keep him out of Davenport, Iowa, because when he went back to Davenport, he got in trouble. What happened? Michael then went back to Davenport and got involved in some small-time cocaine deal. They locked him up for like 10 or 12 years, and I think it was only like a couple hundred bucks worth of coke, and he went to jail for like 8 or 10 years. I kid you not. Bottom line is, I think he got to Shafter. But Michael Nunn, keep him out of Davenport, Iowa. He went back to Davenport, and he went to jail. Bob Sirkine, may he rest in peace. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live, worldwide. Check it. Your inside look into the world of boxing, MMA, of course, brought to you by the World Boxing Council, President Mauricio Suleiman. You can check us out on WBCBoxing.com. Of course, that's the boxing website. They've got some nutritional stuff up today regarding zinc and vitamin A, all that kind of good stuff. So there's all kinds of interesting stuff on the WBC website at WBCBoxing.com. Until next time, this has been Ring Talk Live Worldwide, of course, a production of Sports Byline. My name is Pedro Fernandez. You could be doing a million things right now. The fact you're listening or watching Ring Talk Live Worldwide, well, I thank you from the bottom of my heart. Until next time, don't forget, Ring Talk Live Worldwide, Saturday and Sundays, 11 a.m. Pacific time, live on Sports Byline.